Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Okay, welcome back to the programme, and we are live in a gloriously sunny Westport today. We're in the Jeep van at the Octagon here with that's St. Patrick, isn't it?
Looking down. It is St. Patrick, yeah, yes.
It's quite a beautiful statue, actually, really. And then there's the clock tower down, or clock down below.
It's a very attractive town, isn't it?
Isn't it? Wasn't it voted the most attractive, most beautiful place in Ireland to live or something by... about 2 years ago.
So I think it's consistently.
It's consistently. Yes, it is. Okay, we're here all thanks to Discover Ireland, supported by Fáilte Ireland. More info on wildatlanticway.com or follow the hashtag Wild Atlantic Way. And we're going to talk about pets, cats and dogs and everything else in between, because they're such a huge part in many people's and families' lives. And when they die, not only is it tough to say goodbye, but a lot of people are left wondering what to do with their deceased pets, because not everyone can bury their beloved dog or cat in the back garden. It's not the done thing. And we have Niall Curran as a vet and has opened up a crematorium for pets in Castlebar, not a million miles away from here. You're very welcome, Niall.
Thank you.
There was clearly a demand for such a thing. And when did you realise the demand meant that you had to answer the call?
Well, I've been in practice in Castlebar for 16 years now. And since 2001, I had been using a service, a cremation service for pets, because even since 2001, there was a demand for it. We have a lot of expats, and they had been used to having pets cremated in the UK, for example. So there's been a demand for in excess of 14 years for pet cremation. But there was no service available on this side of the country. So pets that were put to sleep in my veterinary practice had to await collection for a service that was based in the east of the country. And those pets were actually being transported to Northern Ireland to be cremated.
Right.
So it meant that there was quite a long time between the animal dying and the pet's remains returning to the owner.
Yes.
And it was an unsatisfactory state of affairs, really. In some cases, the owner would have passed the period of grief by the time they got the remains back, and it was almost an untimely reminder then at that point when they received the remains back.
Okay, I wasn't aware that traditionally if a dog or a cat died under your watch, if you like, you send the remains off to this crematorium, and then it would come back in an urn of some sort or a casket.
Yes,
or?
I have examples of urns here. This is a wooden casket. It would probably be the most commonly chosen casket. A dark wood stain with a little brass plaque with the owner's name on it.
It's like a little altar, almost.
I suppose a lot of people think of them like small coffins.
Coffins, yes, of course, yeah. But so that's what it would come back with, the pet's name inscribed on a plaque on the top.
Right. Okay, that's right. And there are also more elaborate caskets.
Wow, that's quite something. Isn't it?
This is called a cat on a book. It's a resin cast. Very attractive piece, which it's designed to be a bookend.
Yes.
So you're kind of discreetly hiding your animal's remains, maybe on a mantelpiece.
So you're in business since last October, is that
yes,
right?
Yes.
And how many cremations have you overseen?
The last one was on Saturday, and that was the 108th cremation.
So the demand is clearly there.
Yes.
What sort of person, animal owner, if you like, wants to, a dog lover, cat lover, wants to have their pet cremated?
Well, they come from all kind of demographics, really. You have older pet owners who maybe have a long established relationship with their pet. Maybe their pet is their only companion, and they want to remember that the friendship that they have with that animal in a particular way.
Yeah.
You have people who maybe don't own land, so they're not able to bury their pet, and they're left with the problem following the death of the pet of what they actually do with the animal's body.
Yeah.
And then you have people who maybe prematurely lose a pet, and they feel the life has been cut short, and they want to remember the brief period that they had with the pet.
And by way of having an urn or a casket of some sort to always have there.
I mean, behind every casket, there's a story.
Of course.
There's a million tail wags. Yeah. There's There's walks that you shared with the pet. It's a great way of remembering them.
It's not only dogs, obviously, it's pets. So what sort of creatures, and I mean that literally, have you cremated down through the last...
Well, about 80% of them are dogs.
Yes.
12 to 15% are cats, and then the more unusual ones would be, we've done two rabbits, a guinea pig, and an African grey parrot.
Okay. I'm trying to get my head around the parrot.
Well, African grey parrots live a long time, you
don't
know?
They? Yeah.
40 to 50 years. Yeah. I mean, that's three times the length of an average dog. If you're lucky enough to have one as a companion for that length of time, it's half your lifetime.
And the owner would say to you, listen, after this parrot I've had for most of my adult life, and I wouldn't mind you cremating.
Yes, yes. In fact, we've had clients who've actually had their parrots with taxidermy, they've had them stuffed and kept them in that way.
Well,
you know?
Was that a Victorian thing? This idea of stuffed animals in glass cases. You see them in old movies and so on.
Yes, yes, very much so. And there's a taxidermist in Ballinagh.
Yes, sir.
And we've used his services a couple of times.
Yeah, but not really for cats and dogs. That's more for the exotic.
It's more for exotics and some people that are into shooting as well. If they.
Oh yeah.
You know, they'll preserve
the
them. We had one farming client who had an entire wall of his sitting room with glass cabinets with stuff that he'd shot.
Well, whatever gets you through the night.
Gets you through the night, yes.
And here's Aina Flynn. Hi, Aina.
Hi, how are you?
Nice to meet you, and thanks for coming in to see us today. Where are you from?
I'm from Clamorris.
Okay, so you're from the local part of the world, really. And how did you come in contact with Niall?
Well, I've been at Niall's practice for about the last 12 or 14 years with different dogs that I've had. And this is the first time that he's been able to follow through from start to finish, if for want of a better way of putting it, with one of my pets.
Yeah, can you tell me about the pet in question?
Grousey, she was a six-year-old working Cocker Spaniel, and she got cancer. So.
And were you really attached to?
Absolutely.
Like the way...
I had her sisters from 8 weeks old, but we only got her just before her fourth birthday. So she only lasted 2.5 years.
So you watched her kind of getting unwell and you
kind of... No, it happened all of a sudden.
Really?
She was absolutely fine, and I went down at 3 o'clock that afternoon. She had like a duck egg lump had just appeared on her neck. And Niall's whole demeanour changed as soon as he touched her.
Aina would be one of our more careful clients. She'd probably worry a lot about things that were wrong with her dogs. But the minute I saw the lump on her neck, I knew we were looking at trouble. We ran a test straight away, and it confirmed that she had lymphoma. And we knew we were going to have to do our best as regards prolonging her life and giving her the most comfortable life. So she had 8 months of chemotherapy.
The whole works.
Yeah.
And how was that for you? That must have been pretty torturous.
It was in the beginning. It was hard because I didn't want her to be sick or in pain or anything like that. But Niall had promised that if it wasn't working or if she was getting sick, that we could stop at any time.
Okay.
But she just flew through it. She used to get down out of the crate after intensive chemo, visit all the patients.
Yes.
At one stage, there was a vulture there.
A vulture.
Yeah, and she had to visit him.
She had 16 bouts of intravenous chemotherapy.
Good Lord.
And she had to be sedated for the chemotherapy just so she'd sit still while she got the medication. And she just flew through it with flying colours.
She was
so courageous.
Yeah. But the last two, she started getting nervous when she'd see him coming.
Because she knew it associated
she
Niall
was
with
going to be sedated.
Yeah.
And then on the
and
third
we
time,
just,
we
just
stopped it.
We just decided to call
Maybe.
A halt. Just
yeah.
So here, the dog's name was
Grousey.
Mm-hmm. And when Grousey then ultimately died, you had to make a decision as to what to do with Grousey's remains.
Well, I knew that she would have been cremated because all of my dogs have been cremated.
And do you have them all then in...
Yeah.
So how many...
I have three now, including her. My mum has two in her house.
Of this sort of size?
No, they're bigger. They're lovely. They have like photo frames on them. And I have a little love heart as well, like a keepsake. You know, like it's about that size. You'd fit it in your hand.
Okay, and where do you keep the ashes of your
dogs? Just on console tables in my living room.
And how does it? Really, no, it doesn't. It just shows that you love your love your pets, and they're more than just pets to you. They're like family.
They're still with you, aren't they?
Tell me what you think when you see those on the tables.
It just gives you a great sense of comfort. Yeah. You know, they're not gone. It's not like that. Jessie was the first bitch that I had that Niall had to put down, and I was 6 or 7 weeks at least waiting for her to come back. Yeah. So you don't know what to do with yourself. But this time, Grouse was back at me within 5 days. So it was different, but it just gives you a little way to mourn, but you can't really mourn in public because people don't understand, you know.
They don't. They don't.
You don't want them to think that you're belittling any other thing that's going on, but it does take a lot out of you. And you lose a pet, you know.
Of course it does, but like you say, people don't take it as seriously, if you like, your loss or your grief, as they might. They look, there are bigger things to be grieving.
Well, absolutely. Other pet owners do.
I think so. Yeah. Yes. Dog lovers, particularly, or cat lovers could understand.
Anyone,
that.
I mean, you could. I've had bikers cry over cats.
I'm not surprised.
Yes.
You know, bikers have bigger hearts than most.
Yes.
You'd be surprised. I think the hairier, more tattooed someone is, the softer they are. That's my experience in life. Listen, we have to leave it there. And you're not hairy or tattooed, but you still have a big heart. I can tell that, Aina. Aina Flynn, thanks for coming
to see us so much.
Thank you. And Niall Curran, if people want to get in touch with you, obviously they can head to mayopetcrematorium.ie for more information.
That's right.
Okay, well, good luck in your endeavours. And thank you both for coming in to see us today. We'll take a break.